Right, say amen. Say amen again. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Truly, this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Have God been good to you? Oh, don't fool me now. If you know he's been good, give him praise this morning. Hallelujah. Oh, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Amen. Praise him. Oh, I praise him. Praise him. Praise him. Jesus, blessed Savior, he's worthy to be praised. Everybody lift your voice and let's praise him. In the morning I pray, at noonday I praise him, all day long I'll just praise him. Jesus, blessed Savior, yeah, he's worthy to be praised. David said, from the rising of, yeah, the sun unto the going down the same. I found out, Lord, he's worthy, Jesus. He's so worthy, yeah, he's worthy, worthy to be praised. Everybody, let's just praise. Thank you, Lord. Oh, I praise. Yeah. Praise him. Praise him. Jesus, blessed Savior, he's worthy to be. Can we do it one more time? From the right. From the rising of the sun unto the going down the same. I found out the Lord is worthy, so worthy, yeah. Worthy, yeah, yeah. Let me praise him. Thank you, Lord. Praise him. Hallelujah. Praise him. Praise him. Jesus. Call him again. Jesus. Jesus. Call him one more time. Jesus. Jesus. Oh, bless him. Bless it. The Lord, the Lord, the Lord, he's worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise him. Praise him. Hallelujah. Thank God for Jesus. Let us pray. Father, we come just to say thank you. Because you've been such a mighty good God. You kept us. You watched over us. You let no hurt, harm, or danger come upon us. So here we are now, Lord, looking up to thee, the author and finisher of our faith. We come believing, dear Lord, that your grace and your mercy have been keeping us day by day. And so we come to give you praise. We come to worship you. We come to lift up your holy and righteous name. Because God, you've been so good. We just have to give you the praise. As we come this morning, Lord, we pray that thou would search our hearts and search our minds. If you find anything that's not right, please move it right now. Let your Holy Spirit rule, guide, and direct that everything that is said and done here today, that your name will get the glory. Oh, God bless the preach man today. Give him preaching power that somebody might hear from heaven. Somebody needs a refresher. Somebody needs a jump start. Somebody needs a lift today. Lord, we want to hear from you. Speak to us. Speak to us, to your man's servant, that we might be delivered. Come, Holy Spirit, and bless us in a mighty way. Touch the praise team, Lord. Give them singing power this morning. Let them sing your songs of Zion, that somebody might want to be turned on to you. Touch your musicians as they place your instruments, Lord. Anoint their fingers right now in the name of Jesus. Touch our ushers, Lord. Touch our deacons. Touch our mothers, Lord. Touch the entire church. Come, Holy Spirit. Dwell in the midst today. Show up and show out. And we know everything will be all right. God, we counted on you for a blessing today. And we will bless you back. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Come on, give God a hand clap of praise today. Come on. He worthy. He worthy. He worthy of our praise. Hallelujah. I don't need a church full to praise the Lord. I can praise him by myself because I know the goodness of the Lord and all that he's done for me. So my heart cries out, hallelujah. Oh, bless the name of Jesus. Our scripture this morning is coming from the Gospel of Mark. The Gospel of Mark chapter 2. Amen. The Gospel of Mark chapter 2, beginning there at verse 1. Amen. Mark chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them, and they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four, when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they undercovered the roof where he was. When they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy laid. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why don't this man thus speak blaspheming? Who can forgive sin but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your heart? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sin, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go to thy way into thine house. And the word says, immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed, glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. And when he went forth again by the sea, side, and all the multitude resort unto him, and he taught them. And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the reset of custom, and said unto him, follow me. And he rose and followed him. 14 verses of Mark chapter 4. May God continue blessing the readers of his word, that it may hide it in our hearts, that we might not sin against God. Amen. Give our praise team a hand as they come at this time. You might be seated in the presence of the Lord.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Come on and give God the praise where you are. How many know it's a good thing to praise the Lord?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Anybody got up with their mind made up to praise God on today to give him glory?
Yes.
Hallelujah. We thank him for being our way maker.
Yeah.
We thank him for being our peace.
Yeah.
We thank him for being our shelter.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We thank him for being our shelter in the time of storm.
Yeah.
Anybody agree? Anybody believe that?
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, bless him.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
Oh Lord, you are my shelter.
Oh Lord,
God. Hallelujah. I believe Psalm 47 says, oh, clap your hands, all ye nations. Amen. We ought to shout for joy. Amen. Because of the goodness of the Lord. Truly, we give him all the honor and all of the praises. Amen. Till I speak of the hour, Reverend Gordon, and to his lovely wife and family. Amen. And to all of the clergies in the house, and to the officers, our deacons, deaconesses, mother ushers, saints, and friends, and to all of those that are listening in, we greet you this morning in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we welcome you here, amen, to the New Hope Missionary Baptist Church here in Powder Springs, Georgia. God bless you for taking time out just to be a part to worship with us this morning. Amen. We come to lift up the name of Jesus. Amen. We come to give him praise today. Amen. Because he's blessed us all week long. Amen. Look at somebody and say, God's been good to me. Come on, tell somebody. Yeah, he's been good to me. Praise God. Praise God. All right. We want to once again take this opportunity, because they still coming in, all the cards and gifts that you have blessed me with my birthday. I want to just again thank you all so much. Amen. For showing your love. I really do appreciate it. So we thank you. Thank you so much. All right. This afternoon, we are invited to the Pilgrim Baptist Church there in Marietta, Georgia, for their pastor's anniversary at 3 o'clock. Now, they will be serving dinner. It will start at 1:30. So if you like to go and eat, they will start serving dinner at 1:30. The service will start at 3 p.m. So we hope all that can and will go along with us as we help them celebrate their pastor's anniversary. We know that some folks are still a little uncomfortable about getting out, but now it's time to get out. Amen. This thing is going to hang around, so ain't no need of us, amen, giving up and stopping God's program. It's time for us to get back doing what the Lord wants us to do, fellowshipping one with the other. Amen. Just protect yourself, wear your mask, amen, and let the Lord do the rest. Come on, somebody. Amen. So we invite you to come go with us this afternoon to Pilgrim Baptist Church. Also, we'd like for you to put on your calendar, the second Sunday in October will be choir day this year. Amen. So we're getting ready for a grand time with our choir on the second Sunday in November. And then on the third Sunday, we'll be going to Wright Street. Amen, for their church anniversary. So we're on the move now. We're on the move. So we want you to come, amen, and be a part. And on the fourth Sunday in October, we are invited to come to my home church in North Carolina. Amen. So I don't know if anyone would like to go. If you feel like some people say, it's time for me to get out the house now, I'm ready to go. So if you would like to go, we would like for you to start letting us know. Call the secretary and let her know that you have a desire to go with us to North Carolina the fourth Sunday in October for their church anniversary. Amen. That way we can make preparations for your travel, and you will be staying over one night. Amen. So let us know if you desire to go with us the fourth Sunday in October. All right. Do we have any visitors with us this morning? Will you please stand? Any visitors in our midst? All right. Everybody's at home. Amen. You might let our parishioners in. Amen. Praise God. We're so happy to have Sister Gordon with us this morning. And I believe that's the daughter. Praise God. I've seen you in so long. You was little the last time I seen you. Praise God. Amen. Amen. God bless you. We're so happy to have you with us this morning. All right. Let us continue being a part of our Bible study, our Sunday school, amen. This is where we grow. You know, my heart is really kind of heavy because seemingly our young folks is straying away from the church. And I think it's high time now that the parents get involved. If the parents don't get involved, the children are not going to do anything. And I'm pleading with you, your children need a foundation. Because in this day and time, the things that they have to deal with, the peer pressures, just being in school, amen, and dealing with the workforce out there, they need Jesus. They need some word in them so they can keep their minds, amen. Because if you're not careful, they're going to be so stressed out, amen. And there's so many that are even committing suicide since this pandemic. It's been hard for them. And so I'm saying to your parents, please get your children back in church. I know they're involved in the sports and the schools and things, but that's not going to save them. Everybody is not going to be a Michael Jordan, let me tell you. Amen. Get your children in church. Get them a foundation that they can stand on, that if they don't make it in the circular world, they got Jesus to keep them. So I plead with you. I plead with you. Get your children back in church. Thank you so much. All right. We thank you again for your tithes and your offering, for your commitment. Thank you so much. Let us continue praying for all of those on our sick and concerned list. Amen. Remember the Stewart family, Dickon Stewart. They had this homegoing celebration on yesterday here at the church. And we thank everyone for your part, whatever you played into making the family comfortable on yesterday. Thank you so very much. Keep the Bonds family in your prayers. Diggins and Deacon Bonds, they was in a car accident a week ago, and they are recovering, so please keep them lifted in prayer. Also, we ask that you remember Dr. Gore, who been diagnosed with stage 3 cancer, and she's going through chemo. And my barber, Philip Honor, who is going to have surgery for his arthritis. Amen. So please keep them lifted in prayer, because we believe that what prayer still works. Amen. Amen. So keep all of those lifted in prayer, if you will. All right. We're going to get ready for some more good music now. Amen. As they come, and we ask that you will be in prayer for our speaker of the hour, one of our very own. Amen. He's no stranger to us. We know he can preach and will preach. He's motivated by the Holy Spirit, amen, just to do that. So we ask for your prayers for him as he come and break unto us the bread of life. Amen. That is none other than Reverend Caesar Gordon. Let's praise God for him, amen, as he come after the praise team have sang. Thank you. Hello, Ashley. Good to see you. Praise God.
How many of y'all love God more than anything in this whole world? I lift my hands in total adoration on to you. You reign on your throne, for you are God and God alone. Because of you, my cloudy days are gone. I can sing to you this song. I just want to say that I love you more than anything. I lift my hands in total adoration unto you. You reign on your throne, for you are God and God alone. Because of you, my cloudy days are gone. I can sing to you the song. I just want to say that I love you more than anything. So you. Glory and honor belong to you. Yeah. We just want to say thank you. Thank you. Lord, I worship.
I love you, Jesus.
And I worship.
I worship and adore.
And I just want to tell you.
Just want to say.
Just lift your hands right there. More than anything, Lord, I love you. Lord, I love you
more than anything.
Jesus went to Calvary to save a wretch like you and me. That's love. Can you help me say Jesus
went
to Calvary
to
save a wretch
like
you and me,
like you and me. That's love.
That's love. Oh, oh, oh.
That's love.
Oh, oh, oh. Jesus went.
Jesus
Everybody
went
believe it.
To Calvary
to save a wretch.
Yeah, that's love.
Come on, if you know that the Lord changed your God.
Yeah.
And he rose again for me.
Thank you, Lord.
I know it was the blood.
Yeah.
That was shed for me.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I know it was the blood.
Yeah.
I know it was the blood.
Oh, yeah.
I know it was the blood for me.
Yeah.
I know it was the blood.
Yeah, Lordy.
I know it was the blood.
Yeah.
I know it was the blood for me.
Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Come on, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, that ought to make you want to shout right there. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Thank you. Amen. Amen. Let's give that choir a hand. Amen. Yeah. For praise. Father God, we come before you. And I just ask and pray now, Lord, that your Holy Spirit, Father God, will speak to me and through me, that your people will hear, Lord. I pray now that I decrease, that you might increase inside of me, that your word will go forth, Lord, to touch the hearts and minds of your people, that you will get the glory out of everyone's life. It is in Jesus' mighty and awesome name we say thank God. Amen. The scripture has been read, and what I will read to you is in Mark, the second chapter, starting at verse 1. And the word of the Lord reads, "And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there were no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door, and they preached the word unto them. And then they came unto him, bringing one sick of palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed where the sick of palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." You may be seated. I would like to just take a moment and say thank you, Pastor Steve. God bless you for this opportunity and for all of the clergy and deacon and deaconess. And I also like to thank my family for being present this morning, my wife and my daughter. Thank God for them. I have the privilege and honor to be married for 35 years. I don't know how that happened because I stopped counting when I was 29 years old. So I have a feeling that she was robbing the cradle when she met me. But I thank God. I remember 20 years ago when I was a deacon and I would come up and raise the offering, and my son and my daughter would follow me. They were my shadows. And if I stopped too fast and turn around, they would run into me. And they would follow me everywhere I go, downstairs. And it's amazing how time flies. It waits for no one. And I want to talk to you this morning from the title of Action Speaks Louder Than Words. So if I can get y'all to repeat after me, say, action speak louder than words. I'm not going to have you jumping up, flipping, and doing high fives. But it's just something about that spoken word, about action speaking louder than words. Now, if we can go to school for just a moment, I'm no teacher, and however, I'm speaking from the standpoint of the way our school systems are designed. But the word love, faith, and action, they're all different words, but they all have something in common. And what I like about that, and when I say they have something in common, they are verbs. You know, I am reminded what God's word says, that God so loved the world. And right there, when you pause, they say, okay, well, he loved the world. And then here comes the action, that he gave his only begotten son. In other words, I can tell you all day long, I have that $20 you were asking for, but just wait on it. It won't do you any good until I get it to you. I've got nothing but love for you. Then show it. So love is an action word. And so is faith. It is also an action word. So we just can't say I have faith and not have anything behind it. And so is action. Action is a thought process that is carried out into motion. So therefore, these words are connected. I want to say that faith don't really see obstacles. What faith sees are opportunities. That's what I want you to understand, because we're always going to have something that's trying to be a stepping stone and a stumbling block. But instead, it should be a stepping stone, no different than staircase. So understand, that's what faith sees, not obstacles, but it sees an opportunity. I want to say that when faith on display is seen in our actions, but not just in words. It when your faith is on display, it has to be seen in action. And I understand that some people may have a hard time interpreting that, but bear with me. Maybe I can help you get through this. You know, we can show our faith through our daily devotions, whether we're praying daily to God, kneeling on our knees, lying prostrate, or whatever position your body at that time allow you. If you have a backache, sometimes you have to lay in bed, but as long as you're praying to God, you know, so through our daily devotions, sometimes it can be a matter of fasting, but that is another way that we can also have our faith being shown. We can share our faith with others. And through God's Holy Spirit, it is so intelligent and educated that it tells us when to do it. Because no matter how much knowledge we have and how many degrees we have to know that there's a time to do everything. So when it's time for our share our faith with others, that is another way to display that we have it, because we're sharing it. And we can also represent Christ the best way we know how, by living out our life, submitting to authority, obeying God, You know, these are things that sometimes I know people have a hard time to do. And I've been in management for many years, and I do understand how people sometimes don't like to follow instructions. I learned a long time ago that I remember when my wife would buy different things and I'd have to bring it home and assemble it. Now, I might be the only man in here doing this, so you guys don't have to raise your hand. I'm not point anybody out. But sometimes I like to look at the picture and start trying to put it together. And then when I'm about halfway in the middle of this thing or close to the end, I'm wondering why it's not working right. I can't seem to get it together. And it's simply because directions, one thing about directions, they tell you to follow them. Okay, so they are not going to always be understood until you go step by step. You can read all of the directions, but until you go step by step, that's when you get the understanding. So when I say that, I want you to understand that about the idea of us displaying our faith and showing our faith. And it is not to show for boastful purposes. It is simply designed to say that if you are a Christian, which is Christ-like, and I represent God, then I want to give the best representation I possibly can. And my representation is different from yours because when he created us all, it was all in his image. So every Christian is representing Christ in their image. And they ought to be representing Christ the best way that they know how. I just want to kind of just share with you that action, as you all have heard, I'm sure, in the past, how it speaks louder than words. You know, prior to this passage here in verse 2 and verse 1, Jesus was in Galilee, and he had been healing, and he had been preaching and performing miracles. And then he's traveled like an evangelist. So he went into the next city, which was Capernaum. And he had been there before. And it was noised. In other words, people were talking. I mean, the word traveled fast. And in this case, good news was traveling fast. You know, they always say bad news travel fast. But in this case, good news was travel fast. And as the Bible says, straightway. In other words, immediately. If I leave here, I may go straightway to Waffle House. But in other words, I know we don't talk like that in our language. But it was immediately they gathered together in so much that there was no room to receive them. So if you just imagine a gathering, whether it be a Braves game or whether it be, the Falcons and the Hawks, where they go to. Now, this wasn't an arena for that crowd, but it's the idea of the pedestrian traffic. If you've ever been in any settings where pedestrian traffic sometimes is just as bad as driving your car in the city or on the interstate. So what I love so much about this, you know, how do we get faith? Well, in verse 2, let me finish reading it to you. It says, and straightway many were gathered together in so much that there were no room to receive them, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. I'm reminded in Romans 10 and 17, it says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. So this is one way that we can get faith. And the way that we get faith is by hearing the word of God. Okay? I do know, I sometimes look at faith as being this magical and mysterious thing that you can't see it, but you know it's there. That's what faith really is. It is there, but you can't see it, but you believe it. And I know we've all acted on things that we believe, but we didn't see. And so now that we're Christians, don't act like it's brand new. We were doing it way before we got saved. Now that you're living for Christ, it should be enhanced now. And it should be guided and led by God now, opposed to whatever emotion that we're going through at that time. And then it goes on to say, and they came unto him, bringing one sick of palsy, which was born of four. And as the Bible displays, once again in its language, born of four, they were carrying him. And just to illustrate, and I know I won't be able to do this the entire time, but if you could just raise your hand for a moment and just keep it up there until it really get tired and start burning, and then you can put it back down. But just hold it up for a while, and then when I finish talking, if you're still holding your hand, I think you're going to understand what I'm talking about. So these four men, they didn't just randomly see a stranger. These four men knew this person who was sick of palsy. So they decided to carry him. And that's what your hand being raised is represent, of holding somebody. Okay, now, however, you don't have the weight on your hand. But trust me, when you hold it up there long enough, it's start to burn, but it's a good burn because it's healthy. So this morning, while you're receiving the word, you're getting exercise too. See, and I'm not going to charge you for that. That's part of my physical therapy. However, these men, they decided to say, you know, I know something so good. You know what? You're not going to believe me if I tell you. So how about I show you? And that's what I mean by actions speak louder than words. They could not articulate, but they know Jesus. They had enough faith. They believe that if I could just get you there. Okay? So I want to say something that not only if I could just get you there, but here's one thing I found out. I have maybe 1,000 contacts in my phone. Okay? A lot of them are business contacts, but however, a lot of these contacts are from people that I've met down through the years, okay? And I come from a large family, so that adds on to it as well. But the thing I want to say is that sometimes you're going to realize that you have some friends that you can count on, and then you got some other people you need to learn to count out. And when I found out that there was the ones that I need to count out, I start deleting my number. I'm like, you know what? I probably haven't called this number in a year anyway. So let me get rid of this contact. And I say that simply because of these four men. They said, and when he came nigh unto the press, in other words, it was crowded. And you pressing up against people. And here they are. They're carrying somebody. Once again, they have a lot of weight on their shoulders. All right, and as they're carrying somebody and there's a crowd, let me tell you something. Some people will help you as long as it's convenient. If I have time, I'll come by and get you or maybe come see you. It's got to be convenient for me because I'm not going out of my way for you. All right, so maybe if you start to think about that, how many people will you go out of your way for? How many people are you willing to show better than you can tell them? Huh? So think about here we are with these men. Here they are now. There's a crowd. They can't get in the door. And if you're in a house, you're looking, you're trying to see. There's no way through the window. You go around the back. There's no room. No matter what side, you can't seem to get in. Now, that's when most people are like, well, you know what? I'm going back home. I'm done with this. I've been in traffic before inside to say, I am not about to sit in this traffic. Let me make a detour. So understand that's how a lot of people are. So maybe I'm the only guilty one in here, but I just want to go a little bit further and say they decided, well, if I can't get in the door, and I remember as a kid in New Orleans, we had one of the houses we lived in. It was called a shotgun house. And the shotgun house, you know, if you just open the door, both doors, you can shoot and the bullet will probably go straight through. But there was a front door, there was a side door, and there was a back door. And, you know, a lot of houses now, you only just have the two doors. But however, you know, here they are. They went all around the house and there was no way to get in it. So now it's time to get creative. And that's one thing I like about people. Sometimes inventions are created by adversity. So they decided, I'm going to create a new way in. And these four men decided, Because here they are. They're carrying somebody once again, and the place is crowded, and you can only move so fast, and then they walk all around this house. And now they have to figure out how we're going to get in this house. And that's when they decide to climb on top of the roof. And then when they get on top of the roof, which couldn't have been very easy to do, but nonetheless, however they managed to get up there and carry, well, let's call it like it is. They were carrying dead weight. If you ever picked up on something that just would not move, whether it's a sick person, a sick child, or even just pick up a dog that's lying there, if they're not in a posture to help you, support you while you're lifting that weight, there's no way it's going to be easy. So they are now climbing on top of the house where, as the Bible says, the sick of palsy lie in bed. And then I want to stop for just a moment and talk about verse 5. When Jesus saw their faith, seeing their faith, when Jesus saw their faith, I hope that when Jesus look at me on my day of judgment and he decides to say, let me look at your faith, I would love for him to refer to Hebrews 11:1, that now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So through my life, have I displayed this in my life? I would prefer him to even refer back to perhaps Philippians 4:13, where it says, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. But we have to understand what the word says in order for us to believe it. And then as we believe it, we put our belief into action. Oh, yes, yes. I would love to have him to refer to 2 Timothy 4:7. It says, I have fought the good fight of faith. Yes, yes, I have fought a good fight, and I have finished my course, and I have kept the faith. You know, I would love for him to just look at me and refer those things by saying, servant, well done. You know, when it comes to Jesus looking at their faith alone caused someone else to be healed. You know, so your actions, I want you to understand how your action has consequences. Their actions was the consequence of someone else being blessed, someone else being healed, someone else's sins being forgiven. And what, as we all know, throughout the whole New Testament, especially in the Synoptic Gospels, Jesus had blessed people in a multitude of ways. Some of them he spoke to. Some of them he laid hands on. In other cases, he spit on dirt and rubbed it together and made a salve and rubbed it on their eyes and tell them to go rinse it. He can do it however he prefers. He's all called dead people back to life. And in this case, he told him his sins was forgiven. That statement alone restored his body. Oh, that goes to show you how wonderful our God is that we serve. But I want to remind you of something, that faith comes with a price. Are you willing to pay the cost? I want to know, how far are you willing to go? See, that's what faith asks the question. It begs the question. How far are you willing to go? Because these men decided to make a new entrance. So if you tear up the roof on my house, you can be a child of God or you can be a sinner. I want you to pay for it. I'm talking basic economics here. Finances. It comes at a cost. It also comes at a cost of, look at the physical toil that it took on their body. I still don't see any hands raised because I know your arm would burn by now and it feel like it'll fall off. One arm would probably be the size of a watermelon and then your other arm would be normal size. Yeah, so they are holding somebody. This takes a lot of time and a lot of effort. So it's not like the roof had a secret hatch and they can turn a dial and lift it up. The Bible here says that they broke it up. So they went a great distance, a great feat. And while the word was still being preached, there's debris falling from the ceiling. The word is being preached and there's noise all around. The word is going forth. People are praising God because, as you know, before there were miracles being performed, and all at the same time, the roof was being tore up. Oh, yeah. But they were getting to their final destination. They were getting somewhere good. And don't you know God know what was going on the whole time? It didn't distract him. Unlike us, I know we can get distracted with a multitude of things. Just let a baby start crying, and all of our attention goes to the crying baby. However, Jesus knew exactly what was going on, who was doing it, and that's why when he saw their faith, and you remember I said actions speak louder than words? This is putting your money where your mouth is. Come on, I know y'all have heard that saying before. So I want to tell you that even in the midst of this, I want to tell you, look at how Daniel, his faith was put on display. With Daniel, he found himself in an unusual position because he wanted to pray. And that was one of his ways of putting his faith on display, to pray every day. And as he was, I said, he was set up. He was set up by the man. And as he was set up, here we are now. They decided to go to King Nebuchadnezzar to get a decree that there are going to be no praying for 30 days. And now they're sneaking around to see if he's going to be obedient to man's word opposed to him being obedient to God's word. But that's one thing I tell you, God's word supersedes man's word every day, any day, 7 days a week, 365 days. Always superseded. So once again, how far are you willing to go to show your faith? Because sometimes showing your faith will get you in trouble. Sometimes showing your faith will have you in a situation like Daniel. And Daniel was thrown into a lion's den. And I figure, and this is just me talking, I figure if you throw me in a lion's den and the lions don't eat me, I might as well lay down on one of y'all and go to sleep. I'm going to use you as a pillow. I think he's probably nice and soft. Yeah, that was faith on display, being thrown into a situation that I call, this is certainly going to be the end of your day. This is death without a doubt. You know, a full-grown male lion, they can weigh up to 400-plus pounds. And if they stand on their hind feet, you're looking at an animal that probably, when they're on their hind feet, they're close to 8-9 feet tall. So all they have to do is just lean on you just a little bit. And yet he's in there. Look at the Hebrew boys. Their faith was on display. And once again, how do we arrive at this point in our life? We must arrive at a point in our life that we have to get so close to God that we are willing to say, whether he blessed me or not, I know he can do it. It doesn't matter about your test. God doesn't live on our time. He created this thing that we live in that is called time. He is the creator of that. He is in what I would call a place called infinity, which there is no time. And then he stepped down into time to intervene on what's going on. And then he goes back into infinity. And yet, these Hebrew boys, they put their faith on display. And it wasn't by showing somebody how big and how mighty I am. This is what I believe in, and I won't be deterred. I will not let you change my mind. So whatever happens, happen. And here they were. They found themselves not worshiping an idol God when King Nebuchadnezzar decided to play all of his little music. And when they didn't do it, he was so angry that, and these are people that he cared about. You understand how people sometimes use people? So I want to tell you that bless people, and hurt people. Because these blessed people were the four men that carried another man to get a blessing. It works both ways. We always say hurt people, but bless people. Because when they threw these Hebrew boys into that fiery furnace, it was turned up 7 times hotter. It wasn't just the regular heat. I mean, he had the heat on hell. And when he threw them in there, it did not consume them. And yet, with that being said, when they looked, they threw 3 people in there, but what they saw was 4 people. What they saw was the Son of God. Yes. I want you to understand in my closing that even one last display or 2 examples of display, one of them being Noah. Now, Noah building an ark without a cloud in the sky. And yet he's being obedient, and people were probably looking at this man like he lost his mind. Because, you know, when people think you're crazy, they slowly just back away from you, and they don't associate you that much, you know, because they don't want other people to think that you're kind of a little off yourself. But here he is, he's building an ark, and if I'm using my imagination, it could have been as big as a cruise ship. But however, because he had to have a lot of animals on this ark, so he built an ark that was so large and for so many years. See, that had to take faith because there's no evidence of what I was told. So why are you doing something without evidence? What's wrong with you? I got faith. Oh, he's crazy. Okay, I got faith. You call it crazy, I call it faith. Same word. Crazy faith. And yet, in his obedience, we know what happened. See, that's what faith is, doing something without the evidence. Because most of us would have gave up. Oh, it's been a week now. I haven't seen a raindrop yet. The crops are drying up. Man, I got to stop this. But he went forward. You know, the first time in my life that I have ever seen a miracle, I was about 9 years old, and my brother was 12 at the time, and he had got saved, and he was on fire. And he had started preaching somewhere between 12 and 14 years old, and he's been preaching all of his life. God has blessed him and anointed him in so many ways that it really blew my mind. So I remember, like I said, I was about 9 years old at the time. And anybody ever seen or even had a wart on their hand before? Well, I had them on all 10 fingers. And I mean, if I would show you my hands when I was a child, it looked like a monster's hand. I even had warts on some of my knuckles. They were all over the place. And it looked like, first I had 1 or 2, and then it kept going and kept going. And as we know, it's a virus of some type. But my mother got concerned, and she was like, well, we're going to go to the doctor. We're going to find out what's going on. Because as a child, I didn't know any better. I would pick on them every now and then, and they would get sore. So, you know, that's not a good feeling. And what really, and this was, like I say, the first time I've ever seen evidence of God as far as miracles is concerned. I've heard of God because my mom had us in church all of my life plus 9 months. So while I was inside, I was going to church. And then when I came out as a baby, going to church. So the day before we went to the doctor, my brother, he asked me, can I pray for you? And I said, okay, I'm the youngest. I always listen to my brothers, whether they were right or wrong. You know, I would listen to them. I remember, I'm with you whether you're right or wrong, but when you go to jail, I'm going home. So, you know, my brother said he wanted to pray for me. I'm like, okay, you can pray for me. So I stood there and holding my hands out, and we praying, and we prayed for a pretty long time. I mean, a good while. And that night, I went to sleep and woke up, and the next day, there were no warts anywhere in sight. And you could look at my hands to this day, and you will not see any signs or any evidence. And I'm talking about, I won't even add up the years, but this has been more than 40 plus years. And that was my first time ever seeing a miracle happen. And it happened to me. It wasn't that I saw it to somebody else. You know, when something happened for you, that's how you have a testimony. That's how you know your faith is on display. That's how you know it is real. This is not hype. This is not something that somebody made up. This is a miracle, and it only comes from God. So I just want you to understand that if you don't have that kind of faith, you can get that kind of faith. Believe in God and know that he's real, and start to understand that action not only speaks louder than words, but the Bible says that faith without works is dead. May God bless you.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Thank God for that message this morning. Amen. You have to put your faith in action. Amen. Faith without action is not good. Praise God. That's why they sang that song, "Let the works I've done speak for me." Because you put your faith in actions. Amen. Give Reverend Gordon another hand for that message today. Listen, God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. If he did it then, he can do it now. All you have to do is exercise your faith, give your life to Jesus, and allow him to make you whole. Whatever your sin might be, or whatever your situation might be, God can fix it for you. So all you have to do is surrender your life to him and let him turn things around for you. Will you stand to your feet as we offer Christ to you today and say, God is available for you right now. Whatever it is that you need, he can supply it. But you have to exercise your faith and step out and say, Lord, here I am. I give my life to you. I want you to turn it around for me. If you're here, come by Letter Christian Experience Canada Baptism. But it's a good time for you to come right now. Receive Jesus as your personal Savior. Let him make a difference in your life. Will you come? Will you come? Will you come? He wants to do it for you right now. Oh, yeah. Don't you? Come on, come on, come on. Yeah, yeah. To Christ. Is there one? Is there one? Will you come? Will you come? Jesus is available right now. I hope. Christ, see you. Be at home, in your car, wherever you might be, Jesus is still right there with you, and you can offer your life to him right now. Just simply pray this prayer with me. Dear Lord, I come to thee, a sinner that needs to be saved. Forgive me, Lord, for all of my sins. Take me and own me as your child. Thank you, Jesus, for saving my soul. Now, Lord, stir up the gift that is in me, that I might do your holy will. Yes, If you prayed that prayer, you're saved today. I say to you, get into some Bible believing church where you can grow and mature in the Word of God. Amen. And perhaps maybe you're here today or even listening in, and you've been troubled by some things during this week, troubled by perhaps some of the situations that you've been encountered with. I want you to know Jesus simply says, casting all your cares upon me because I care it for you. If it's your desire to present your case to Jesus this morning, just stretch forth your hands right now toward the altar and say, Lord, here it is. I'm presenting it to you, my situation, whatever it might be. Lord, I ask for your healing, for your deliverance, for your saving power. If that's your faith this morning, pray with me. Dear Lord, here I am. I need you right now. Step into my life. God, you know me. You created me. You know what I stand in need of. Father God, please, first of all, forgive me for my sins. And Lord, let your spirit fill me with your Holy Ghost, that I might be healed, I might be delivered, I might be set free. Lord, touch right now those who are bereaving. Comfort them, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Help them to understand that earth has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal. Oh God, we present everyone's case, everyone this morning, with outstretched hands. Lord, we giving it to you right now. We pray you will supply their need, that you will, Lord, perform a miracle in their life. Lord, we know you are able. We know you got all power in your hands. So God, we present it to you right now, believing by faith that you will let your will be done in our lives. This we ask in Jesus' name. Let every heart say amen. 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 Come on, give God a praise. Give God a praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you. You might be seated for just a moment. Amen. Is little Michaela here? I believe she going to represent the youth this morning. Amen. She's going to sing us a song. Amen. Praise God.
Name above all name, beautiful Savior.
All right, all right.
Glorious Lord, Emmanuel. Uh-huh. God is with us, blessing redeeming, living Word.
Praise God.
For Savior, glorious Lord, Emmanuel.
Yes, yes.
God is with us. Beautiful Savior.
Yes.
Living Word.
Praise God. Praise God. Bless you, baby. Bless you. Praise God. Amen. 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 You can have a peppermint this morning. Every Sunday she comes to me and say, Pastor, can I have a peppermint? Amen. Isn't that lovely? Praise God. Is Mama here? Where Mama at? Praise God. Mama's back there. Amen. This is how I started. This is how I started as a young child. And see, if we can just get the Spirit of God in our children. Amen. And we have to do that before the world get the Spirit in them. They listen to all this hip-hop stuff. They love it. Amen. But if we can get the Spirit of God in them when they are young, they will have something to hold on to. Amen. So that's why I plead with you. I plead with you. Amen. Get your children involved. We're going to make it our, amen, effort the rest of this year and coming into the new year to get our youth back involved. Because that is the future of the church. Amen. We wanna hear what they got to say and their ideas. Amen. So that we can get them interested in working for the master. Amen. I talked to Reverend Gordon about that, and I know his wife is very instrumental. And so we're going to get some things going here. Amen. So that we can get our children, amen, back excited about Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. All right. Amen. Give our praise team a hand. Amen. That sang so beautiful this morning. Amen. Our musicians, give them a hand. Amen. Our youth ushers, give them a hand. Praise God. Praise God. So I see a lot of young folks out there that God wants to use you. Amen. I say to you, I know things of the world look so appealing to you. But can't nobody do you like Jesus? All of those things in the world is going to fade away. But Jesus will never leave you. And so whatever it takes, let us know to get your interest back in the church. Amen. God bless you. Let us stand as we get ready to leave. We invite you to our Sunday school at 9:30. You can do it here at the church or you can do it virtual. Amen. And be a part. But we ask that you would join us if you can. Amen. Everybody say, everybody say, yeah. Everybody say, amen. Everybody say, everybody say, yeah. Everybody say, may the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, sweet communion of His Holy Spirit, rest, rude, and abide with us now, henceforth. God bless you. Have a blessed day, blessed week. Be safe. We love you. Love you, Mama. All right.